afternoon. Thanks for coming back and listen so soon. Bring in the stories of everyday folks while you sit back, relax, have a whisk, coach. Here we go with the Trend Speak podcast, bringing you insight or bringing a laugh. Here's the man who might have a plan. Give it up for your host, Trent Pod Scaland.
Thank you, Isaiah, for that introduction. I don't know how to just not say, here we are in another week of the Trent Speaks podcast. How you just do a different introduction every time. It just feels natural to always say, welcome back. Thanks for listening and thanks for tuning in. You know, while it may not always seem like it, I do always put a lot of thought into these podcasts, whether it's what guest I'm going to feature this week, what my intro is going to be before the guest, or even if there's going to be an intro at all. For example, next week's guest, I didn't even record an intro. I just threw in our interview because it didn't feel like there was an intro needed. And so I really do put a lot of thought into the priority. You know, I a couple months ago, I spent 3.5 days recording for hours and hours and hours a day. I had, 10-hour days or so of just recording guests. And so really, I have a plethora of people I could be featuring and bringing to you. But as I sat and thought about, what is it that I feel like my guests need right now? And one of those things that crossed my mind is a lot of us are still working from home, staying at home more often, not going out as much. And so, you know, you'll hear me later in this interview with this week's guest talk about how I hadn't seen this, yet now I have had time. If you haven't heard of or seen Middle Ditch and Schwartz on Netflix, I would highly recommend it if you're into improv comedy or even just comedy in general. Maybe you haven't really dabbled in the improv world. It's unique and different, and it was recommended to me by my friend Dylan. So shout out. Thank you, Dylan. And they were really good. I really enjoyed them. If you're Leanne, you lost interest pretty quick. But then again, Leanne can't watch comedy. She actually has to be there. I don't get it. But this week I talked to my guest, or more so learned from my guest, what exactly long-form improv is, how he got into it, and what it is he hopes to accomplish in the future. Meet Rafi. Rafi, welcome into the Trent Speaks podcast.
Hi, Trent.
Hello. Rafi, so I know that you are currently a student studying film, correct?
Yeah, I study film over at the University of Arizona.
So what is it that got you interested in film? Because I know that you are very interested in comedy, which we'll kind of talk about here in a little bit. But what kind of got you interested in that film piece enough to go to college and study film?
You know, it's definitely my parents, my dad especially. They definitely raised me on a lot of different movies. And his dad did the same thing. I mean, his dad was so obsessed with The Godfather that they'd watch it every week. And same with the producers and every other Mel Brooks movie. So my dad kind of raised me the same way. So when I got into high school, I really got into the idea of writing for TV, especially once I got into comedy. I kind of put the two together and really got into the idea of, you know, writing movies, which could be really fun. So somehow I just kind of knew, I've really known since eighth grade that that's what I'd be majoring in.
Is comedy like the genre that you stay around with that, or do you kind of go and bounce around with other genres?
You know, it's weird. I mean, I think I like to experiment with other things when I do longer scripts, but and I haven't had anything that people would have seen. I just like to write stuff for me. I mean, I'm only a freshman, so but when I like to when I do TV for whatever reason, I like to stick to comedy. I love writing a sitcom. It's the most fun thing for me. I've been doing that since probably sophomore year of high school, and that's just so fun.
Do you have favorite sitcoms like that you watch that are kind of maybe inspirational for you, or that maybe they aren't inspirational, but you just like watching them?
Yeah, for sure. And I would go as far as to say inspirational. I mean, okay. Seinfeld is a big one for me, and it has been for years. I mean, I can rewatch Seinfeld over and over again. Mary Tyler Moore is a really fun one for me. I really like shows from that era, like Taxi 2. I don't know if this counts as a sitcom, but I'm a big fan of The Simpsons.
Okay. I would count that.
Yeah, and I've probably watched an episode every day since I was five. I'm a huge fan. But Seinfeld's a big one, I'd say. That's like a major inspiration for me.
So what is it that drew you specifically to Seinfeld?
You know, I don't actually know how I got into it, but I'm sure it was my dad who showed it to me. And I know that in high school in middle school when I was bullied, my dad would always tell me to do what Jerry would do and respond to bullies that way. And sometimes it would kind of work, give them a snarky Jerry Seinfeld response. And so I think that you know, those characters living in their headspaces is always kind of fun because they're so real, and you know, they're wacky, but they're also really relatable.
So with comedy, I know that you, we had talked a little bit beforehand, before the podcast and everything. I know that you've done 4 years of long form improv. Talk to me about what is long form improv? I think I have an idea. I know probably my listeners probably have no idea. I personally think I have an idea, but talk to me about the difference between long form and short, I guess, would it be short form improv?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've done both, and I think both are really fun, but I'm definitely more experienced in long form. And so short form is probably what people are more used to. It's what you probably think when you think improv. If you've ever seen Whose Line Is It Anyway, that's what it is. You know, it's like, we're going to play this game, and someone's going to host it, and like the host is going to tell us to do different things at different times. And, you know, if we do a show, we're going to do different games during the show. But long form is, you know, in long form, you don't have a game, but you do have one form or a format. And, you know, that could last anywhere from 8 minutes to 45 minutes. And you just get one suggestion at the beginning of the show, and then you just go. And I love that because, I mean, there are rules to it, but there's also so much room for experimentation. And, you know, I get really nerdy about all the different kinds of formats that there are. I mean, there's so many different, there are a lot, and I think they're so fun to experiment with. I've been coaching it too, so that's really fun because you get to kind of see people and, you know, help make them more confident at it. And it's nice because the better you get at it, the more you get out of your head on stage, and that's just really fun because you kind of get to go on autopilot with it. It's really fun.
So how does coaching work? Because obviously you have improv, which is all made up on the spot anyway. So how do you coach someone for improv?
Well, and I've heard this joke before that should there be rehearsal, shouldn't it be improvised? But rehearsals and practices are really important. You know, because we can always run those sets without an audience. We just give ourselves a suggestion and we go. And some people do that without a coach. You know, I've done that a couple of times, and it can be hard. So on my teams, I always like to have a coach to kind of give us some direction. And, you know, I like to be that coach too. I think that's a really fun position to be in. And those practices are so fun. I mean, those are always the things I look forward to the most in my week, because without that audience, we can do whatever we want. And there's no pressure, you know, it's a pressure-free environment.
I know you said you were kind of raised on all those sitcoms and everything, on that comedy piece and stuff. But what is it that got you into wanting to do improv, and especially long form? Because like you said, most people are only familiar with short form, so like the Whose Line Is It Anyway type of stuff. But again, like long form, it's not something you necessarily hear a lot about. So how did you even discover long form, and what got you into doing that?
That's an awesome question. You know, and I definitely got into short form first. You know, I got into it at a pretty young age. We have a theater here in Tucson called Unscrewed Theater. And they were offering a class for teens. So I took that class when I was 11. But at that particular theater, you can't take their adult classes or move on in their company if you're under 18. So, you know, they're a great company, but I couldn't do anything more there. So a few years later, when I was in high school, a friend of mine was taking 101 out of the other local theater, the Tucson Improv Movement, and I started taking classes there. And that's really the long form piece, because they're a really long form focused theater. They have short form classes too, you know, but once you get into 301 there, it's all long form stuff. And that's such, it's so fun. I mean, it's a really cool environment, because everything is so, you know, everything is so creative. And what I really liked about it was, you know, I started classes there when I was 14, and that was considered completely fine. And I was always really nervous because of that, but it was awesome.
So are you continuing to, I know you said did you just finish your first year of film school, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, so you just finished your first year of film school, which I'm sure was not as you imagined the way that it was going to go with coronavirus and everything. Are you still able to, though, even though you're studying right now, still able to do that long form and everything? Are you still able to be active in that?
Yeah, and one thing I think has been really cool to see is how the improv community has adapted. I mean, before, the improv community was so local. If you didn't live in my city, I would have never met another improviser, you know. But now it's become really global. You know, the improv community has really embraced Zoom as this platform where everyone can go improvise together. So it's been really cool to see. And people have started their own projects. I've been doing my own improv podcast, and people have started their own jams. I've been doing the Second City Jam on Saturdays. So, and I've still been coaching those two teams I coach, actually. We've just been running our practices on Zoom. So, you know, Zoom has been this really cool platform where improv basically works the same way as it does in person, just with a few changes.
Oh, that's really cool. I didn't know that people were starting to use Zoom for improv and everything, but that's really neat.
Yeah, and it's been really fun too. I mean, people are even doing shows for audiences just on Zoom. It's been awesome to see.
Wow, that's awesome. What's your favorite part of long form? Because I'm sure there's the part where people are giving out ideas, the part where you're actually doing everything. Like, do you have a favorite aspect, I guess is a better word, of the long form improv that you do?
Yeah, it's almost this, it's this connection that you get with the other people on stage. And I wish there was a word for it, but I can't think of a word for it. But it's when you get like really into the set and everyone is just totally in sync, and everyone, I mean, no one's thinking, you're all just kind of in this autopilot zone. And you get to this point where if it's a really good show, the audience is in that same zone. No one's thinking, everyone's just having fun, and everyone's connecting with each other in this really cool way. And I wish there was a word for that, but I don't think there is. But but that's always really special to me.
Do you have memorable might be a good word to use. Do you have a memorable like long form? I don't know what you'd call it. Would you call it like a skit? Like long form improv piece that you've done that's memorable to you or that you really enjoyed doing?
Yeah, definitely. That's an awesome question. I need a second to think on that one. yeah, you know, one that comes to mind is I used to be on this team that did this format called The Deconstruction, which is a really interesting format because what it does is you know, it's not it's kind of a dramatic and comedic format. It starts with this scene. That's an 8-minute scene with just two people. That is not meant to be funny necessarily at all. It's just two people who are meant to be very real, having a very real conversation. And sometimes that ends up being funny, but sometimes it can end up being very dark. And other parts of it will be funny, but you know, we'll do that. Then we'll go to the rest of the audience, the rest of the team doing scenes that sort of comment on that relationship. Then we'll go back and do a scene with those two people again, sort of informed by those, by that commentary. And I did a set with that once where I was one of the two people in the beginning scene. And we were doing this show where it was sort of a lighthearted one. We were these two kind of hipster brothers in the New York art scene. We gave each other these ridiculous names, Rockland and Erbin. But then once we got past that, the relationship became really real, where I wanted our gallery to be really commercial and successful, and he wanted it to be all about the art. And that became really clear through our emotions, and it just, you know, it was a really rewarding scene that we got to explore through this set. It was really fun.
Earlier you had mentioned that long form can be anywhere from about 8 to 45 minutes. I guess maybe it's a two-part question here. Do you know going into it how long it's going to be, or is it really you're just kind of rolling with it? And then two, I guess, how do you know when you're done? How do you know when you've hit an end point and like that's it? Like that's the end of the long form.
Those are such good questions. And I guess for part one, it depends on the format. Like I mentioned, I get super nerdy about all the different kinds of formats there are. And usually, you know, usually certain formats will last like 8 minutes long and others will go longer. So like there's a really popular one called The Herald, which people actually compare it a lot to an episode of Seinfeld. You know, you have three scenes at the beginning, then you have a scene everyone does together as like a palate cleanser. Then we go back to those three scenes and follow them up with sort of like sequel scenes almost. Then another palate cleanser. Then we get scenes about consequences to those sequel scenes. And then, so that one will usually last about a half hour. So you kind of just know. And to part two of your question, how do you know when it's over? I mean, performer Rafi and coach Rafi almost have different answers to that. Because performer Rafi has no idea. Performer Rafi goes out there and has no idea what's going on and is just waiting for the person in the tech booth to black him out. But Coach Rafi sometimes knows, okay, this set's probably going to end pretty soon because he's watching in the audience and kind of gets a feel for it.
Okay.
But Performer Rafi is on the side generating ideas.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Is that kind of what you're doing while you're up there? You just said generating ideas. Is that what you're doing? You're constantly thinking of what is my next step? What is the next thing I'm going to say?
Yeah, sometimes, and sometimes not at all. Sometimes you're just going out there, well, I see nobody else is going out there, so I probably should. But sometimes, yeah, sometimes you'll get an awesome idea in your head that you're, because you're just sitting on the side generating ideas. Which can be really cool. I mean, you know, it'll feel like this really well-oiled machine, and it never will feel scripted, you know, and it never should. I mean, that's kind of the beauty of it, is that they'll feel like these real conversations that we're watching. And even if you have a plan like that in your head, it's always going to be derailed in this really fun way. Someone from off to the sides is going to come into the scene and do something that you never saw coming.
Yes, I guess you can't think too far ahead then, because yeah, it might be a moot point that you just had 10 seconds from now if someone comes out and kind of destroys what you had already planned to do.
Right, and you might create something beautiful together. That's the thing. Right. There's this quote I love: watching good improv is like watching an airplane being built in mid-flight, because you know everyone's doing these crazy things. How do we make them work together?
Yeah, I like that. It's a good analogy, I would say. Now, I haven't quite tuned in yet. And by the time this podcast airs, maybe I will have. But one of my friends recently told me about the Middle Ditch and Schwartz special that's on Netflix right now. He told me that's improv. Now, I haven't tuned into it or anything yet, so I don't know what type of improv they do. Have you seen that at all on Netflix?
You know, I feel like the worst improviser for not having watched it because, I feel like I'm kind of supposed to have watched it, but I haven't seen it yet. But I do know that it's very long form, which is cool because it's the first thing that's really it's televised long form. It brings long form into the public eye on Netflix in this really cool way, and I haven't seen it yet.
So what you're saying is I need to watch that to figure out what this long form truly is.
Yeah, you should definitely check it out. And I should definitely check it out too.
And my friend, he told me he watched the first episode, and I don't know how many episodes there are, but he did say it was very good. He said he enjoyed it.
Yeah, they're both really funny. I've listened to them on a lot of podcasts, and I always enjoy their stuff. I just haven't had time to watch it yet. I've been doing too much improv to go watch improv.
Yeah, so I guess probably for you, even despite coronavirus, things really haven't changed a whole lot. Because like you said, you've been utilizing Zoom to do both coaching and to continue to kind of stay fresh and stay up to date basically with your skills through Zoom, right? So probably not much has changed for you.
You know, I think the couple of big changes are I've been able to pursue my own stuff more. I mean, I mentioned I started a podcast, and before the virus, I don't know that I would have done that. I think it would have been pretty hard for me. But the same way you're recording this now on Zoom, that's the way I've been doing it. Well, that's the way I've been doing it now. At first, I was using Anchor, which wasn't the best way to do it. But now I've been doing it on Zoom, which has been really fun. And I don't know that I would have done that before the virus. And I mentioned, I think the other big change is I mentioned how global the improv community has gotten. I've been taking classes with theaters that I never would have been able to take classes with before. That's been really cool. I just took a class with this theater in Vancouver. I'm signed up to take a class with the Groundlings over in LA. Wow. And that would have been impossible before the virus. So I think that's one bright side of it.
Yeah, I will say it has been, and I had conversations with this once everything really started to take effect. But I think that that'll be the good thing that comes out of this virus is really how we utilize technology in a different way, but also, in my opinion, at times a more productive way as well.
Yeah, I really hope we don't lose it. I think Zoom is something I had never heard of before this. Apparently a lot of other college students had, but I had never heard of it. And I really hope we don't lose it. It's become really cool.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see what happens with it all. I do want to ask you, though, about your podcast, because we've mentioned that a couple of times, and you said you just started the podcast. What's the name of the podcast? What could people expect if they were to tune into your podcast?
That's called the Paper Towel Improv Podcast, Quick Bites with Rafi. It's a long title, but I added in the quick bites because I did a reformat a few episodes ago. Every episode is now a half hour or shorter. And what you can expect there is it's sort of the improv comedy we've been talking about. It's mostly long form, but there are some short form episodes in there too. There are some episodes that don't really fit into either category with just monologues and things. And what you get on that is a variety of different forms of improv. That's what I go for. So, every week you'll get a different type of improv with some new improvisers coming on and doing something cool for you.
And so where can people find the podcast if they want to tune in?
Anywhere cool podcasts can be found. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Overcast. I'm sure that iTunes, that's a podcast platform.
Well, I will do my best to try and link it either on my Trent Speaks Facebook page or the Trent Speaks Instagram, or both if I can. But I will definitely try and take a look at that and put a link to it in case people want to check it out and everything. I would definitely encourage people to check that out. So I'm going to check it out actually sometime later today. So I'm excited. Yeah. Rafi, I see you have a Spider-Man shirt on. You got Spider-Man posters behind you. You got Guardians of the Galaxy. You must be a big comic book guy.
I am a huge comic book guy, both literally in terms of I am huge and I really love comic books.
So what got you into the comic book piece? Cause you've really, you, I feel like you've gotten the whole like spectrum of things. You've got film, you got improv, the comedy piece. Now we're talking about comic books and TV. You're really this like walking digital encyclopedia of a whole bunch of different things, I feel like.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I like to think I'm a good go-to source for improv, comic books, classic rock, I don't know. I probably got into comic books at a pretty young age too. Probably around the same time I got into improv, I want to say I probably started reading comics at the same time I took my first improv class when I was 11. But
so instead of reading books, you're reading comics, basically, right? It would be the same thing as reading a book in a way. I've never read comics.
I tend to read both, but
okay. Do you have like a favorite? I don't know. Are they series? Would you call it like a comic series? Like, do you have a favorite series that you like to read, or you're just any comics?
Yeah, I'm trying to think because I don't want to give you something super obscure on the show, but I feel like my answer might be pretty obscure because my favorite is
this comic. Go with whatever is your favorite.
Yeah, I think my favorite is this comic that everyone listening to this should definitely check out. It's a Fallen Angel by Peter David, and it's sort of like this noir tinged religious allegory. Superhero detective series set in this fictional supernatural city of Bete Noir, and it's kind of hard to describe from there because I can't really do it justice, but it's so good. I mean, it's just my favorite. I have like every volume of it right under my desk so I can find it easy because I love rereading it.
Were there a lot of volumes?
Yeah, I have it in the omnibus forms because you know, I got really into it back in high school, and you know, there should have been more, but they have them in these big books here. So they're pretty dense. Big.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's three of those.
Yeah, that's gotta be what? That's at least an inch or two thick.
Yeah, and they're so good. I'm the lore in these is just awesome because what they set up is really cool. And you know, once it all makes sense, it does eventually. And once it does, it just is so fun to deep dive into.
Well, what would you say has been the most impactful piece to your life so far? Like, I mean, you've got a lot of stuff that you really enjoy. Like, you've got a lot of hobbies, a lot of things that you're passionate about, very clearly. What means the most to you? What's been the most impactful?
Wow, that's a great question. You know, it's probably the improv. I mean, that's what I spend most of my time with. That's what I've been doing with a lot of my time, but everything else means a lot to me too. But I'd say if I had to pick one, it's probably the improv. Getting into improv when I did made me so much more confident as a person, and it just gave me such a cool outlet. So that's what I'd say.
I was literally writing down to ask you what you feel like you've learned and gained from improv, but you just answered it as I put pen to paper.
No, I ruined your question.
It's always good though when you can beat me to it. So, Rafi, well, thank you so much for coming on and chit-chatting today. We unpacked a lot within the last half hour or so I appreciate it. Thank you. The last question I always ask people though before they leave the podcast is, what is it that, whether it's something we've talked about today or maybe it's something we haven't talked about, but what do you want the listeners of this podcast to take away from you and your story and your passions and your hobbies?
I think a good takeaway from what I've said so far is, this is going to sound like a weird one, but go check out an improv show if you haven't checked it out before. chances are your city has an improv theater if you haven't been to it before. Even if you don't live in New York or LA, I mean, I live in Tucson and we have two improv theaters. So most cities have one, and I definitely go check it out. It's really fun, and I think there's something for everybody in an improv show.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Rafi. Rafi, you probably have never listened to a podcast of mine. If you have, that's awesome. Irregardless, though, you get to do the sign-off of your own podcast.
Oh, I checked out one in preparation, but I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, so you can sign us off however you want to.
Thanks for listening to Trent Speaks. Have a great day.